Revelation chapter 16. Amen. Revelation chapter 16. Now, we've been studying Revelation chapter 16, and we've seen those plagues. We've seen the vials poured out. We've seen the seven angels pour out the seven bowls of the seven last plagues, he said in chapter 15, verse 1. And then we saw the seven trumpets. We saw that the seven plagues were the wrath of God in chapter 15. The first four bowls, God's wrath poured out on the sea and is poured out on the earth. And the first one is sores, and the next one was bloody seas, and then the third one was bloody waters, and the fourth, the sun scorched people, and they cursed God anyway. Now the fifth bowl was poured out on the throne of the beast and his kingdom, and we're going to see that now. If you'll look at it with me, go down to verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Well, can you imagine it being so dark it hurt? Can you imagine it be so dark that they felt like they were going to die? It was so dark, a smothering dark. I don't know if you've ever been in a room, a closed room with no windows and no light at all. It's a scary thing. I remember I used to work in warehousing, and we had one storage room that had a metal door on it. And when you shut that door, there was no light in it. When you shut that door, there was no light came in around the door, and there was no handle on the inside. And I did this, and I couldn't even see my hand. I couldn't see my hand. It was so dark, there was absolutely no light in that room. I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. I got scared. I beat on that door and beat on that door and beat and hollered and beat on that door until finally somebody came and let me out. But I can't imagine it being so black darkness that they would gnaw themselves because just bite their tongue and their lips is what he's saying. But you know what? They're getting exactly what they deserve because they're living in darkness and they're following the darkest one himself. And God's poured out all these things from them and on them, and they didn't repent. And if you remember last week, they cussed God and they blasphemed God. After all these poured out on them, they didn't repent of their deeds. And so it's so terrible that a person would be in darkness, that much darkness that they would be in pain. But I got to think about that. There's a lot of people walking around this world in a lot of darkness now, spiritually. Spiritually, they cannot see. They can't see. It doesn't matter how much scripture you read them. It doesn't matter how much you pray with them. They cannot see. And I told y'all that story years ago. I led that man to the Lord, and I'd go see him every once in a while, dying of cancer. And his wife, she wouldn't hang around there with us. I'd go give him some Bible once a week and pray with him, you know. And I stopped her one day. I said, "Wouldn't you like what he got?" And she said, "I've been in church all my life." I said, "Yeah, but he got born again. Have you ever been born again?" She said, "You don't understand. My mom and daddy had a gospel sing group. We traveled this whole country singing in churches. We was in church every night. We were in church every night singing hymns and gospel songs." I said, "Well, that's wonderful, but that's not what I ask you. I ask you, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you have eternal life?" She said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So I said, "Well, let me take the scriptures." So I took her through the scriptures. And A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on Christ. C, confess it with your mouth. And she said, "I'm sorry, preacher. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand what you're talking about." So I took her through some more scriptures. And I tried to get her to pray and ask the Lord to save her. She said, "Preacher, you don't understand. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying." So I took her through some more scriptures. And she said, "Look, preacher, I hear you, but I don't get it. I don't get what you're talking about. I don't understand that." And she walked off, and that was it. Now, that woman was living in darkness. She'd been in church all those years, every night. You know she heard the gospel over and over and over. You know she did. Back then, this was 15 years ago, and she was a 60-year-old woman then. So that back when she was a kid. So, man, that back in the 50s when she was in church. She heard the gospel in churches back then. Yeah, she heard it. It don't matter what, back then all churches preached the gospel. Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, all of them. But not like it is now. So she heard it over and over and over and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected. And now, I don't even know if she's living anymore, but she's in darkness. And can you imagine the pain of that when you go to die? The pain of dying in spiritual darkness. Now we don't see that much anymore. I want y'all to think about this. I've read stories of people that died back when they didn't have all these painkillers. And some of them would die screaming that their feet were on fire or they were falling into the fire. And then others would die saying, I see the Lord, I see angels, I see dead loved ones. I'm rising and they're coming down to me. And others would say, I'm falling, I'm falling, I'm falling. And they'd scream and they'd holler. And look, they died in darkness. And can you imagine the testimonies we would hear today in the age that we're in if they took away the painkillers and they wasn't asleep when they died? Man, we'd hear some screaming and hollering, I guarantee you. But these people are so much in darkness, look what they do. Verse 11. And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Now, we always like to think of people like this. He's in the hospital, go see him. He'll probably be open to the gospel now. They told her she's got cancer. Go see her. She'll be softened up. You can go lead her to Christ now. Ain't that the way we think? It's not always so. But in this age right here, it's not going to be so at all. The pains and the sores, instead of making them think about dying and going to hell, is going to make them shake their fist at God and curse God and blaspheme God for the pain and for the sores. Instead of asking for mercy and healing, they're cussing God. But wait a minute, why is that? Well, way back at the rapture, almost probably about 5 years before this, the Holy Spirit was taken out with us, the church. And the Holy Spirit is what convicts. And the Holy Spirit is what converts. And the Holy Spirit is what comforts. And there'll be no Holy Spirit, so there'll be no Holy Ghost conviction. There'll be no Holy Ghost comfort. There'll be no Holy Ghost conversion. These people are all on their own, and they hate God, and they're mad at God, and the Holy Ghost is not here to comfort them or help them. Y'all see what I'm saying? Right now, even the weakest sinner in town get sick, go to the hospital, and they'll probably think about calling out to God. They won't even think about it. These people won't even think about it. Look at it. Because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They ain't seen nothing wrong with what they was doing, worshiping the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist. They didn't see anything wrong with taking the mark of the beast. They didn't see anything wrong with living like animals, wicked and vile. And is that not just about the age that we live in? There is no wrong anymore. Used to be people talked to us when we were lost, and they would talk to us about the Lord and talk to us about getting saved. We'd get convicted. We'd get ashamed. And even if we didn't get saved, we were ashamed of what we were doing, and we were sorry for what we were doing. We just kept on doing it, but we were sorry for it. In this time, they will not feel sorry for a thing they've done. They will have no shame, and they'll have no sorrow for the way they live and how they cuss God and how they blaspheme God and how they turned against God and accepted the Antichrist and how they killed people that believed in Christ. They'll have no shame, they'll have no remorse, and they'll have no repentance. And they'll hate God, and they'll hate God's people, and they'll still shake their fist at God. Just like Pharaoh, God sent plague after plague, didn't he? And you know what Pharaoh did? Moses go back and he said, okay, let my people go. He said, I'm not letting you go. Who is your God? I don't recognize your God. And that's the same way these people are going to be right here. Now, I'm telling you, these people, they're going to be close to that beast. When it says it's going to be that darkness is going to be poured out on the throne of the beast, that means the dominion of where the beast rules at. Now, y'all remember, most of this, he's ruling in Jerusalem. He set himself up in the new temple on the throne of God. And he has called himself God. Y'all remember that? And now, God's not just chastening Israel anymore. Now he's chastening the whole world. The seas, the waters, the greenery, all that stuff. God's chastening the whole world now. And you would think that they would look at that throne where the Antichrist sits and he's called himself God, and they'd see all that darkness, they'd see all that pain, all those sores, all that suffering, and they'd say, he must not be God. He led us into all this stuff. Instead, they keep right on following and shake their fist at God. Believe it or not, there's people like that today. There's people like that today. And the only reason they don't follow the Antichrist, they don't know who he is yet. If he showed up tomorrow, they'd follow him. You see that crowd out in the street burning buildings and tearing up property and turning over police cars and shooting people and beating people up. That's the same crowd that's going to follow the Antichrist. They talk to those people on the TV. They'll say, don't you think what you're doing wrong? They say, no, we ain't done nothing wrong. This is our right. This is our freedom. Well, you don't have no right to hurt somebody else. You don't have a right to tear up somebody else's stuff. You don't have the freedom to do that. Freedom, that's not what freedom means. Freedom means we're free to serve God and obey God or not serve God and obey God. It does not mean that you can do anything you want to anytime you want to. But that's exactly what it's going to be during the tribulation period. Wild people following a wild man. The world being total chaos. Now look at verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now he pours that vial on that river Euphrates, and that water just dries up. You say, preacher, that can't happen. That's the same thing they said, dividing of the Red Sea. That's the same thing they said at dividing of the Jordan. That's the same thing they said at the flood, before the flood. It can't happen. It's impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever noticed or not, but River Euphrates runs right through that Middle East stuff. And it is the lifeline of a lot of those countries. And along that river, it's green and beautiful, and just a little ways out, it's desert. And now they tell me, I don't know everything, but I believe this, that river has been the only thing that held back a lot of invasions from Israel, from other people coming into Israel, taking over. Now he's going to pour it out. And out of that, look here, verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And he pours out that. And listen, these three kings get to cross that river. And these kings are demon-possessed. He said, I saw those spirits, demons. And they're demon-possessed. And they perform signs and wonders. Think about that. Signs and wonders. Well, that's a lot of TV preachers, ain't it? Watch out. Signs and wonders. You know, the devil can... Every plague that God put on Egypt except the death angel, the Passover... Every plague, Satan's people, those priests, those Egyptian priests, they mimicked it. They mocked it. They imitated it. The devil can do miracles. The devil can do signs. You go to one of these palm readers. If you do, you need something read beside your palms if you go to palm reader. It's this up here, not down here. But you go to one of these palm readers, and they'll for $10 they'll lead you up something, you know, and then they won't quite deny. I don't know. I've never been one. This is what I've heard. They'll lead you up something, you know, and they'll stop, and then they'll say, for another $10, I'll tell you the rest of it. Now, let me tell you something about fortune tellers and palm readers. Fortune tellers are one of three things. Number one, they're a crook, a liar. Probably that's what it is, a crook or a liar. They can't tell you future. Number two, they are professional gypsy type people who have learned these things through, I don't know if it's magic or not. But then the third one would be, they're demon-possessed. A demon can tell your future. You know how, Rick? Whatever they tell her or him to tell your fortune, they can set it up to happen. For instance, they say you're going to come into a lot of money. And then another demon over here says, I influenced a banker over here, or I influenced his boss man, or I influenced this one. They got a lot of money. We'll arrange for those two to get together Monday or Tuesday, and we'll arrange for this person to get a lot of money so they'll believe this possessed fortune teller. Y'all follow me? They may say, don't go out next Tuesday. Something terrible is going to happen. And then that demon talks to another demon who talks to another demon who this old guy demon possessed, and he drives drunk all the time. And he'll have you at the same intersection that drunk's at, and you have a car wreck. Y'all see what I'm saying? They can do miracles. I mean, it appears to be signs and miracles, doesn't it? You can, I tell you what, go back to the witch of Endor. There when Saul... do you remember Saul had outlawed witches and necromancers and fortune tellers? He had outlawed and had them all killed. And then after he was chasing David, you know, and he got all crazy and everything, he told one of his servants, find me a witch. And so they found one woman left in Israel that was a witch, the witch of Endor. And he disguised himself, and he went to the witch of Endor, and she said, what can I do for you? And he said, I want to talk to somebody that's dead. And she said, you know that King Saul has outlawed that. And he said, I won't tell him. And then and so of course they're paying her, and so she conjures up Nathan the prophet. I want you to tell me, because Nathan, wasn't it Nathan? Samuel. And so she conjures him up. And look, it scares her as much as, because she's a crook. She ain't never really called up a ghost, but here's one now. I'm telling you. Demonic activity, demonic inspired people, demon possessed people, can do things that will look like miracles and signs and wonders. They can do it. Watch out. Don't believe it. Look, if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, don't believe it. I was trying to win this lady to the Lord one time, and she said, I've had this experience. I don't need what you got. I had this experience with Jesus. I don't need to be born again. He came to me and he talked to me. I said, well, the Bible says if an angel from heaven or anybody else comes preaches any other gospel, let them be accursed. I said, have you ever thought maybe that was a demon that came to you? No, that wasn't no demon. That was Jesus. I said, what did he look like? She said, he had long blonde hair and blue eyes. I said, Jesus didn't have blonde hair nor blue eyes. He was a Jew. I said, they showed you what you wanted to see. And I said, you need to be saved just like everybody else. And the Bible says, after three or four verses, she said, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I saw. The devil can do it. Demons can do it. Listen, we better be real careful. These kids playing with Ouija boards and stuff, watch out. Some of these horror movies and stuff, watch out. Watch out. There's more truth to that than you think there is. Amen? If you go calling up the dead, the devil might send somebody to talk to you just faking that dead person. Come on. They can do it. And just think about this. Here's three kings with mighty armies behind them. By the way, you know what's on the other side of Rib Euphrates? China. China. Biggest army in the world. China. Russia. Russia is on the other side of it. Gog and Magog. Russia is over there. Russia is one of the most powerful countries in the world. You see how they're playing with politics now. And lie, those people are professional liars. Both those countries, communists, are professional liars. And that's going to open the way for them to drive their tanks across, their jeeps across, and pull their guns across and everything else. And there's going to be three of these leaders, three kings, who are demon-possessed, and they perform signs and wonders to get other kings to follow them. And listen, he's trying to warn us, but he's trying to bless us too. I want you to look at it again. He said, verse 14, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth." That's all over the world. They go to other leaders and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now we know that's the battle of Armageddon, because it's in the valley of Megiddo that this is talking about. And if you, a lot of times you'll see a movie or you'll hear somebody make a comment about a big fight or a big war or something. They'll say, it's Armageddon. No, it ain't nothing near like what Armageddon's going to be. The blood's going to flow to the bridle of horses. That's how deep the blood's going to be right there. And listen, all the world's going to come together in that one place. All the world. Why? If the whole world then is following the Antichrist, why are they coming there to fight? Because they know Jesus is coming back. And they know he's bringing his army with him. And the Antichrist, once again, is trying to defeat the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his army. And so he's bringing, and we're going to get more in this later. But all these world leaders are bringing their armies right there to the Middle East at the River Euphrates. And then they're saying, don't you remember Jesus said he was coming back? Now I read something. Don't write this down. Don't tell anybody the preacher's lost his mind. But you know, it makes a lot of sense. I heard a preacher say one time, said, everything's about UFOs and aliens now. Have y'all noticed that? Everything's about UFOs and aliens. All the movies, the devil is deceiving the world, he said. And what he's trying to do is to convince people. And I've even seen a movie where aliens kidnap millions of people, like the rapture. And that's what that's going to be his lie about the rapture. Aliens came, stole all these people out. And we got to get together, and we got to get ready, because they're coming back, and we got to be ready to fight this time. Just like a movie plot. Maybe. Maybe. People believe anything now. Maybe. I can see these guys running around on TV saying, we got to get ready, the aliens are coming back, and they're going to destroy our world, they're going to take over our world, we got to unite under one government, one leader, one army, one air force, one navy, one everything, so that we'll be ready when they come back, that they won't take any more of us and they won't take over the world. And our great leader over there in Israel, he's sitting on the throne. He'll be our commander in chief and he'll help us. And he's got supernatural powers and we'll be ready this time. Sounds like a good plot to me. But even if it's not, they're all going to get together. And it's lining up right now. It's lining up right now. There's two kind of people left in this world that ain't Muslim.
is Christians and those that hate Christians. That's the only two kind of people left in the world. Christians and those that hate Christians. And once we're taken out of here, they're going to be glad we're gone. And then they're going to all get together. And they'll finally have what they wanted under the leadership of the Antichrist and these three kings, demon-possessed. And they'll be filled with the, instead of filled with the Holy Spirit, they're filled with evil spirits. Man, ain't that something? And they're going to make war with God Himself. They've already blasphemed Him, shook their fist at Him, cussed Him. Now they're going to make war with God Himself. Can you imagine how deceived somebody's got to be to follow a man that says, I can defeat God? Man, look at that seventh, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. That means this is the end. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings. There was a great earthquake such as was not seen, was not since men were upon the earth. The whole world's going to shake. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her, look at this, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of the wrath of God. In other words, what he's saying is God remembered to pour out all his fierceness and anger on Babylon. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. They disappeared, fell into the sea. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Can you see that? God doesn't need an army to defeat these armies. He sends fire and hail out of heaven. God, look, let me tell y'all something. God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He's not afraid of anybody. He doesn't take orders from anybody. He has a plan laid out, and it's going to happen exactly the way He's got it laid out. And it don't matter if you like it or lump it. You can cuss God. You can blaspheme God. You can hate God. You can make fun of God. You can mock God. But you write it down, those hailstones of fire will fall exactly on the day that He's appointed for it to fall, and nobody can change it.
Amen.
Boy, you hear, you won't... Put that on television. Amen. Put that on television. See what you get. Man, they think we were crazy. But he said, it is what? Done. God said the plagues are through. The vials are through. My dealing with man is through. I'm done. That's it. Now comes judgment. And you think those people with that hail, giant hailstones of fire falling on them, they would cry out to God to have mercy. No, sir, they blaspheme God again. You say, preacher, I just can't believe people do that. You've been living in a bubble somewhere. You must have been hiding under a rock. In my lifetime, I've known people that would do exactly that. In my lifetime, I've run with some people that would do that. And in that time, during tribulation period, that's all that's going to be left on planet Earth is people like that. Remember that great separation there in 2 Thessalonians, come up hither and we'll be changed in the moment twinkling of an eye, we'll be called away and they'll still be here and everybody that is an unbeliever will be here. And by this time, the few that get saved, and I think it'll be very few during tribulation period that get saved, those few will be dead and gone because they'll be done chopped their heads off for being believers. The only thing left is the most nasty, vile, filthy, mean, hateful human beings that ever lived on planet Earth will be all that's left.
We ain't seen nothing. I saw them Muslims line up all those men on the side of that ocean and chop their heads off. And we all just got sick seeing that. And we saw them let those men down in that swimming pool full of acid. And it just eat them alive. And we saw where they set people on fire. And we saw where they lined them up and shot them in the backs of the head. That's just a small preview of the kind of people that's going to be living during the tribulation period. By the way, none of those people that ever did that repented. You ain't seen none of them on television say, "I'm sorry for what I did." You ain't seen none of them get saved. I think that is a good preview of the kind of men and women that will be living during those last days. Don't you? Now the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But I got news for you, and God knows it. Everybody's not going to be saved. Now, nowadays there's some good people that's not going to get saved. Good people. They pay their bills. They're nice to their neighbor. They wouldn't ever shoot you, chop your head off. But the day's coming when even the good lost people will be gone. And the only people that's going to be left are going to be vile and wicked and hateful people on planet Earth. Shake their fist at God while the fire's falling on them. Shake their fist and cuss God while the fire's falling and the judgment's coming down. And they're blaspheming the name of God Himself. Some of y'all young people, you just ain't never seen that kind of people. Boy, I remember growing up, I knew some people in the KKK. I knew some wicked people, buddy. I knew some people that would hurt you and laugh while you was crying. They'd hurt you for the fun of it. And they'd conspire to hurt you. That's the kind of people that's going to be there, bro. And you know what? We want everybody to be saved. But you know what I do when I look at that picture and I read that passage of Scripture? I say, amen. Do it, God. Do it. Amen. Finally, justice is coming. People walk around holding signs talking about justice, burning buildings down, tearing up police cars. They don't even know what justice is. Hey, there's a picture of justice right there. It is done. I know we're not supposed to get mad at people. We're supposed to be little namby-pamby, prissy little Christians and don't ever fight and don't ever fuss. But I tell you what, sometimes don't we want to? Every now and again, don't you want to grab a sinner by the nap of the head and say, "Wake up, you stupid idiot! Wake up! God's coming! You need to get ready for judgment's going to fall." Don't y'all ever feel like that? Don't you ever feel like just taking one and shaking them? "Look, wake up, you dummy, wake up." Read in the paper the other day where some man, they done called him for molesting some little old children. Some more, they done called him one time, let him go. And I thought, boy, that's the crowd the fire is going to fall on right there. They fussing again in Charlotte over will not let women that think they're men going to men's bathroom and men that think they're women going to women's bathroom and they're fussing over that stuff. Let me tell you something. That's a perverted mess. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's a perverted lifestyle. And there's a payday coming. There's a payday coming. Hey, we live in a country where we are protected by laws of our forefathers who were believers who fashioned the laws from the Bible. That's the only reason we're protected. There's other countries that don't have those laws. And believers there are not protected. And they see some of the vilest, ugliest stuff you could ever imagine. In a Muslim country, did you know, listen to me kids, did you know in a Muslim country that a Muslim leader, man, old man, can take a little girl 10 or 12 years old and marry her? That's the law. Over here it's child molestation. And God's not asleep. He sees all that stuff. And it's, hey, I can just see it piling up like in a courtroom. All this stuff, all these things piling up. But finally one day, thank God, he's going to say, it is done. That's enough. Payday's coming today. And the fire's going to fall. You know what? The trumpet's the next thing to sound, though. And while that fire's falling, we'll be up in heaven getting ready to ride back with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to give us a white horse. I don't even like horses. But since he does, I'll ride it. Amen? I think it's going to be a glorified horse. Won't even have reins on it. I'll just sit up there like this right here. He'll take, and he's coming back riding his white horse, and he's going to have on his robe dipped in his own blood. And he's going to have a sash that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to be riding behind him, buddy. And you talk about Battle of Armageddon, there ain't going to be no fight. He's coming down in the Bible, and we're going to get into it later. When he comes down, he's going to kill them, listen, with the word of his mouth. Amen. All of you dead. They're dead. Bloody mess. And you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be riding behind him. Won't have to lift a finger. It's coming. I hope he comes tonight and gets us out of here. Amen. I'd like to hear the trumpet sound before Sunday. And maybe get a heavenly camera and see who showed up for church Sunday. Where's the pastor? Where's Miss Roddy? I don't know if you can do that or not. I know the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses up there, and they sometimes get to see us. I want to just look over the banister of heaven and look down here that next Sunday after the rapture and see who's scared to death and came to church who didn't normally come to church. It's coming. Are you ready? Well, I'm getting myself excited. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.